No one's the best part of it. Got nothing to do with man. Got everything to do with him. It's his presence, his spirit, his move, his touch. If you've been touched this morning, it's not because we prayed for you. It's because God loves you. Amen. Worship team, I just want to thank you this morning for a phenomenal job. And I don't think it was a job, for a phenomenal ministry this morning. Thank you. We don't often show our appreciation enough. And we appreciate you guys this morning. Okay, today, and it's 10:15, sorry, I can't move vikkel, but I'm not going to rush through the message. I'll just make sure that I cover what needs to be covered. Today is actually the final day of the official Feast of Trumpets. The biblical Feast of Trumpets. It's the final day. It's the third of the autumn feasts of Israel. This is a little bit on the loud side, it's feeding back. I don't know if it's just on the platform figure. It's called Tabernacles, but it's part of a series of feasts which are also known as Tabernacles. It starts, the first day is Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. It's, the theme is repentance and new beginnings, and it's basically the Jewish New Year. It speaks about, for biblical or Christians, New Testament believers, speaks about the last days and the second coming of Christ. And we know He's coming soon. Then on day 10 of the Feast of Trumpets, or of Tabernacles, shall I say, which this year was on the 23rd of September, it's Atonement or Yom Kippur. It's redemption. It speaks redemption. And the teaching is about judgment and God's grace. Who knows that we have grace, but there's also judgment coming. And we will all stand account before the Lord one day. All roads do lead to Rome. Just some roads lead to eternal salvation, and other roads lead to eternal damnation. Amen. And it's our choice which road we travel. God's not going to force us. And then from the 15th to the 21st day of the feast, it's a 21-day period, and this year it was from the 28th of September through to the 4th, which is today of October. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, where the Israelites built booths. It was to remind them of their time in the wilderness where they lived in, dwellings made of branches and whatever they could find. So they lived in booths. It's a great time of rejoicing. Did you sense the joy in the church this morning, church? It touched me because God is still faithful. Even though we are not the Israelites, we're not under the law, we're not necessarily called to follow the feasts. But today, which is the day of Tabernacles, there was a sense of great joy in the church. And hence I believe this ministry about the love of Christ. Doesn't the love of Christ bring you joy? Amen. Because we know we are loved. So today is the final day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you've watched the news or you've gone on the internet, you would have seen that the Jewish people built themselves booths or temporary shelters where they would have spent time and had meals. And it's representative of the fact that they tabernacled in the desert, but it also speaks about the fact that God wants to tabernacle with us. He wants to dwell with His people. And it also points, because it's a feast of harvest, so it points to the great ingathering, the rapture. Who knows the rapture's coming? It's coming soon. Who knows, excuse me cleaning my glasses here in front of you, but I can hardly see you. Who knows that if we're not ready, we will be left behind? Church, we need to be aware of that. Too many people go to church and think it's all hunky-dory. You can't mess around with the things of God. Amen. So we need to be right with God. But that's not what I'm speaking about. Today I want to speak to you about the Feast of Tabernacles. And I see it's been switched off. Tochi. It's because I didn't organize properly. I want to speak to you about the Feast of Tabernacles. But remember that on the 1st of October, which was Thursday, we started our month of consecration and sanctification. And I asked you, and in the bulletin it says, please read through the book of Nehemiah, and we kind of split it up so that you can read certain sections each week. So who started reading through the book of Nehemiah? Don't be embarrassed if you haven't. But if you haven't, I want to ask you to start today and start reading through. It's actually a great book to read. It's such a fantastic account of how God moved. And I believe this church right now is going through a similar circumstance to what they went through in the days of Nehemiah. We're in a time where it's a time of rebuilding. We're at the Shine Conference. God is wanting us to rebuild our impact and our outreach to those on the outside, those that are lost. But there's also work to be done in our own lives and a work actually to be done in this building. Who knows that there's a lot of maintenance and repair that needs to be done in this building. If you have a little look around, you'll see there's some new lights up. There's lights here, there's lights in the hall, there's a light in the entrance, and there's cables all over the place. Conrad and I have been working, there's a cable that goes right around, it rings the whole church, yeah, the building, goes out the back. If you have a really nice book, you'll see how badly and untidily I worked and how neatly Conrad worked. But that's not the point. While we were busy, there were days, it was Wednesday's been our work day, and there's days that we went home absolutely filthy. So we were at the top there, we were behind the lights. You cannot believe how filthy it is. We've been up there into the gallery. The gallery is shocking. The sun has chewed everything. The stuff needs to be sanded down, new carpets put in. And then on Wednesday we were in the hall and I was up on a high ladder and I was not trying to tell Conrad that I'm scared of heights, but I was on this high ladder up right at the top at the ridge where the windows are, putting wires up there, holding on with one hand, trying to hit with a hammer upside down, and I was being so stupidly slow, but that doesn't matter. But while I was up there, I was looking at the top of that ridge, and let me tell you, filth like you cannot believe. And then, since we came into the church, we've been dealing with certain things, we've been tidying places up, we've been going and looking in places, and wherever you look, there's junk, there's dirt, years and years and years of dust and junk. And you know, it's just because this stuff gets away with you. I'm sure in your own home, there's places that look like that. All right, so I'm not pointing fingers. But just like the walls of Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah, there's places in this building, if you go and have a look outside at our beautiful tower, it looks terrible. There's places where we need to do some rebuilding, physical rebuilding. And right now, I'm making a call to this congregation to say, will you join with me and the leadership who are always in the deep end with me in helping us to do the physical rebuilding? Now, I will tell you more about that some other day, okay? But I'm going to be asking that we dedicate some Saturday afternoons to the Lord in this place doing the physical work that needs to be done. So think about it. Not everybody's going to want to be climbing up on ladders and cleaning Durangon up there. I don't particularly want to, but I will if I have to. Not everybody's going to want to wash curtains. Not everybody's going to want to sand down chairs. I don't know, I'm just giving you. There's stuff that needs to be carried off to the dump. We need guys to come here with trailers and just help us to take the junk that's collected over the years and go and dump it. Anyway, that's just part of the physical rebuilding of this property that needs to take place. And yes, we have staff, but we don't have enough time. There's too much to be done. And they repaired the walls in Nehemiah's day in record time. 52 days it took them to rebuild. It was a miracle. If you think about it, it's a miracle. Here's just a picture of it. There's just two slides there. Can you bring up the second slide? Just hit enter. If it doesn't come up, it's also okay. It doesn't matter. But I've got a picture of a wall that's kind of half broken down. We need to rebuild. And that's what God is calling us to in the month of October. We need to rebuild sanctification. We need to rebuild consecration. Nehemiah, why did I bring Nehemiah to speak about on the Day of Tabernacles? Well, Nehemiah speaks about a greatly distressful situation. Turn in your books, in your Bibles to Nehemiah 2 verse 17. While you're turning there, I'm going to read because time is running away from us. But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire, Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And listen to these three words. End this disgrace. We need to end this disgrace. Ish, that's hard words. But it's not very... One of the things I said to the leaders when we met and we spoke about the vision is first impressions count. When somebody new walks into the church and they find dirt or broken things or places where it's leaked through and hasn't been fixed, it doesn't send out a good first message. We need to end this disgrace. Amen. But it's a physical and a spiritual thing. More than this, it's about a man. The book of Nehemiah is about a man that decided to step forward and do something about it. Now, we've stepped forward and we said we're going to do something about the people on the outside. Now I'm saying, church, we're busy with that, but we've got other work to do at the same time. We've got to do the work on the inside too. Physical work and spiritual work on the inside, yeah. There's a great parallel. God is calling Christian Heritage to rebuild, repair, and to restore. There we go. There's the other wall. Are we willing to step forward like Nehemiah and look at the places where the walls have fallen down in our lives and in the church and in the ministry, and are we willing to repair, rebuild, reinforce, and restore? Can I see a hand? Who's willing? Amen. We need to do this. This is our congregation. This is our sanctuary. This is our walk with the Lord. God has called us here for a reason. It's time for restoration. Nehemiah and his people did it in a record time, 52 days. My goal is to say, by the time everybody starts going on holiday in December, can we have this place looking different? But more than that, can we have our lives looking different by the end of the month? Can we have our lives looking different? They fixed the wall in 52 days. Once they were done, it was the end of the month of September. It was the 1st of October. It was the day of tabernacles, the date in that year for tabernacles. The people were gathered together, and Ezra the priest read from the book of the law. He read for 6 hours. Think about this. He read for 6 hours with the people standing. Won't you stand up with me? I want you to stand while I preach the rest of my message. You know what? Some people stood up. It shows their willingness. Can you imagine if I said, will you stand for the rest of the message? That's going to be another 20 minutes. I would be in trouble by the end of the service. They stood for 6 hours. The word of God is powerful and it impacted them while they were standing there. They were tired. It was hot. They were hungry. They stood and heard the word of God. Nehemiah 8 verse 8 to 10. Then they read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For all the, now listen to this, all the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Why were they weeping? Because God was dealing with them about consecration and sanctification. He was showing them that their lives were not lining up with the Word of God. And they wept because they could see it and it touched their hearts and it touched them so strongly that they started to cry. They started to cry about their sinful nature, the things they were doing wrong. Church, when last did we come and cry at the altar and say, Lord, forgive me because I've sinned. And God is calling us to a month of consecration and sanctification. Let's go into the Word of God. Let's read that Word of Nehemiah. It carries the message God has got for this church. It's a message about restoration. It's a message about lives that aren't right, that need to be restored. It's a message about a people that lost their focus on the law. They lost their focus on God. They started doing the things that weren't what God wanted to do. But they stopped doing it. And as they started reading the word on that day of tabernacles, they were touched to the core. They started to cry. They started to tear their clothes. They wanted to put on sackcloth and ashes. But I want to tell you this morning that Nehemiah said, don't stop the people from mourning. Let them rejoice. It's a day of rejoicing. It's a day of rejoicing. It's a sacred day for the Lord. You see, there was a time of atonement in the weeks that came before that. And that was a time for innermost searching, checking your heart, seeing if you're right before the Lord. But the people hadn't done that. But on that day, as the word was being read for those 6 hours, they were searching on the inside and they could see things that weren't right. They could see the skinnering. They could see the fact that their sons had married daughters from other nations and their daughters had married sons from other nations, and it had brought in witchcraft and it had brought in idolatry. They could see that they were involved in watching the wrong things on television. They could see that they were lying to each other. They could see that they were swindling each other. They could see that there was hatred and discord and dislike and disunity. I'm speaking about us now, church, not about them. They could see it. And it touched them to the heart. And I want to say to you that this month is the month that God is calling us, church, to be touched to the heart, to rebuild the walls of our lives, to change, to allow God to move in and through us like never before. Do you want that? God is calling us, church. He's not just calling us for them out there. He's calling us for you. Hallelujah. How can we reach the lost if we are not right? We will give them the wrong gospel. We will give them that which is not good for them. We need to give them purity. We need to give them holiness. We need to give them sanctification. We need to give them consecration. They were cut to the heart and they cried. And Nehemiah said, no, it's not a time for crying. It's a time for rejoicing. How does that make sense? I want to tell you how it makes sense, because we've got Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come and told us this morning how much He loves us. He's come into our hearts. He wants to bring about change. We don't need to. Yes, we need to repent. Yes, we need to come here and shed tears. But then we need to stand up and rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Because greater is He that lifts us up. Greater is He that is in us. We sang that song this morning. Mercy is falling. Who wants to experience God's mercy? Hallelujah. God is calling us to mercy, church. It's time to rejoice. Hallelujah. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. And it's the second half if you really want to know. Who knows that the joy of the Lord is your strength? Who has been here this morning that has been struggling with joy? Let me see. Show me your hands. Sometimes it's because of what I've done. Okay? Doesn't matter. What God is saying is that as you draw near to me, as you consecrate yourself and separate yourself to me, I will restore your joy. I will restore your joy. Because when the love of Christ dwells within us, I was standing here this morning. I could hardly sing. The joy just welled up in me because I sensed His love. Amen. Now I've preached off of the message while I was down there. Nehemiah 8:17. So everyone who had returned from captivity lived in these shelters during the festival. Okay, because they read the law and then they found out that it was the day of tabernacles. They were celebrating the feast, or at least they were supposed to. So what did they do? They read the law and then immediately they acted. They built themselves shelters and they moved into the shelters and they spent a week celebrating the feast of tabernacles. What does that speak to you about, church? It speaks to me about obedience. Immediate obedience. What they did is they were touched to the heart. They realized they were doing something wrong. And they repented. And they moved into a place of obedience. So everyone who had returned from captivity lived in these shelters during the festival. Now listen to this. And they were all filled with great joy. Great joy. Wow, you guys are so bored now. Why didn't you think about that great joy and say, yes, amen! Great joy. They were filled with great joy. The Israelites had not celebrated like this since the days of Joshua, son of Nun. They had not celebrated like that since they crossed the Jordan River and they started taking the promised land. Can you imagine taking the promised land? We've heard a lot about it in the last few weeks. They celebrated, but they'd slipped back into the old ways. But now that God had showed them their old ways and they'd said, okay, well, we repent of that, and they'd rejoiced and they said, I've got salvation. There was a great rejoicing that came upon the people. We need to be a rejoicing people, church. Why? Because God loves us enough to call us into a month of consecration and sanctification. So let us spend time in this month, both in tears, repenting of our sins, but also in great joy. In great joy and rejoicing. It should be a month of feasting. I'm almost tempted to say we should have meals together. But I know I'm going to start getting you very busy, so we'll put that off for a little bit. I want to tell you what else they've been doing. These people had been working hard. They'd been physically working hard to complete the physical work on the wall that was required to end this disgrace. Right? They'd been working physically hard. God had helped them even though there had been opposition. As you read through the book of Nehemiah, you will find that there are many accounts of opposition. They threatened them. They tried to fool Nehemiah into coming to a meeting where they could kill him. Then Sanballat wrote a letter threatening him, saying, I'm going to go to the king. And what did he say? I'm going to work even much harder because of this. I don't believe your lies. I'm going to work even harder. Church, don't believe what the enemy says. God is busy working in this congregation. He's busy working. Things are changing almost on a daily basis. And if we have a little setback, don't let that get you down. It's just the enemy trying to discourage you. Say, okay, so we've had a little setback. Well, that means I'm going to fast and pray a little bit harder. Amen? So you pray for a demon to come out. It doesn't happen. Well, that means we're going to go and fast and pray. And we'll work harder. And we'll get the victory. Amen? Amen. Right. I want to point out what was happening. There has to be a balance between physical and spiritual. Who knows? We are spirit, soul, and body. Okay? The soul is the connector between the two, but we are bodies. That means we've got to do some physical things that will make us physically tired. But we spirit as well. There needs to be balance. When they rebuilt those walls, the first thing after the walls were up and they were physically safe is they rebuilt their spiritual lives. We're going to do both together this month. Amen? There was a balance. When the physical work was done, they came and heard the Lord together. They came, did you notice that? What did I just say? They came and heard the Lord? What was the last word? Together. Amen. The Lord is calling us to do this together. When we gather together on a Sunday, we are hearing God's word together. There's unity of purpose. Who believes there's unity in this place this morning? Amen. We've got oneness of purpose. The word of God impacted their hearts. It revealed their sinfulness and led to confession and much weeping. I've spoken about that. And then they were encouraged not to weep, but to allow the joy of the Lord to be their strength. So in this month that's to come, there will be weeping, but there must be joy. The people responded to the word with obedience. They saw they had to build shelters, they went to build the shelters and lived in them. Today we face this challenge. Are we going to end this disgrace? And I'm not saying, church, we're a church in disgrace. What I'm trying to say is, there are walls up. There are walls around Jerusalem. There are walls around Christian heritage. But there's places where those walls are broken, which is a disgrace. We need to rebuild the walls. Amen. I'm not trying to insult you. Because if I do that, I'm insulting me. We've been in the church for 28 years. Okay, so we're part of it. Right. Will we, like the Israelites? This is one of my key questions this morning. Will we, like the Israelites, in Nehemiah's time, respond in obedience? That's a question I'm asking you now. And I want you to think about it now. Ask yourself this question. I'm going to ask myself this question. Am I willing to respond in obedience and be a rebuilder of the wall at Christian Heritage? And when I talk Christian Heritage, I'm not talking just this building. I'm talking about the people of Christianity. This life. Those lives. This building. This ministry. Three things. Right, the people made a commitment on the 31st of October, a month later. You know that we end on the 31st of October, this month of consecration and sanctification. They gathered again. This time, they had been fasting. They were wearing sackcloth and had dust on their heads. Okay, I don't want you to come to church on the 31st of October with sackcloth and dust. We can do it, but that's not what I want you to do. But this time, they had been fasting. I'm calling us to a time of fasting and prayer. Okay. And my suggestion, church, no, I've got to lead. I can't suggest things. What I want us to do is I want us to fast on a Monday. Now, you can choose to have a water fast or a full fast. But from tomorrow, I want to ask you that we fast every Monday for the month of October. Can we do that? I saw some hands. Thank you for those of you that are going to do it with us, okay? Let's fast for the month of October, Mondays. You want to fast other times? You're welcome to. It's personal. Fast is a very personal thing. I'm not going to tell you what to fast. We're not going to give you a handout to say fast about these things. Fast as the Lord leads you. But remember, it's a month of consecration and sanctification. Okay, so what I want to do now is point out that those people on the 31st came and made a commitment. I'm asking you to make a commitment today, not at the end of the month. Make a commitment today. This is exactly what God called us to do. To put it in a nutshell, what we need to do during this month is what David prayed about in Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. He said this, "Search my heart, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's got to be our prayer. Search us, Lord. Show us there where we're getting it wrong, and then lead us right. That's what we're going to do. And if we find we got it wrong, deal with it. If you've got a problem with your brother, sort it out. If you're being dishonest, stop it. If it's possible, give back what you've taken. If you're involved in the wrong things, looking at the wrong things, doing the occult, cut it out. Pornography, cut it out. Guys, stop it. Why didn't I hear one amen? Must I now stand and judge you? Skinnering. Guys. And ladies. Envy. Disunity. Cut it out. Let me quickly, briefly, and I'm at the end of the message. Sanctification, what does it mean? The generic meaning, if you go and look in a normal dictionary, means the state of proper functioning. We need to get back to the state of proper functioning. Okay? To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart. We need to be set apart for the use intended by its designer. So, let me ask you, what did the designer of this thing intend for it to be used for? Sorry? Waving. The person who designed this intended it for this, to be used as a flag. Amen? So this thing, object in my hand, is sanctified for waving. Okay. You and I as Christians have been sanctified too. We've been set apart for serving God, to worship God. That is the purpose of our designer. We need to be sanctified and set apart for God's intended purpose for our life. Part of that purpose is to shine. Part of that purpose is to live holy lives. Who knows that God has a purpose for Christian heritage? The Greek word translated sanctification is hagiasmos. Now for those of us who've read a little bit of it, hagios means holy. Hagiasmos means holiness. To sanctify means to make holy. We need to be holy people. Can you remember the prophetic word that came through Brandon last week? And I think the previous one that he gave as well, it was a call to holiness. God is calling us to be holy as He is holy. And I can give you the scriptures, Leviticus 1 verse 44. For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1 verse 15 to 16. But as He is called, He is holy, so you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Another word for the word holy person is saint. And it comes from hagios, meaning a sanctified one. Do you know that you are saints? But some of us just live like sinners and not like saints. Amen? The month of October is for us to change. We need to be like that caterpillar that turns from an ugly caterpillar into the beautiful butterfly. We must turn from being those horrible, ugly sinners into beautiful, born-again saints of God, shining forth in the holiness of Christ. If we're going to walk in God's blessing and grow and thrive as a church, we need to be His holy people. Then the word consecration, it means separation of oneself. Now, to be sanctified means to be set apart. Consecration means very much the same thing. The separation of oneself from the things that are unclean, especially anything that could contaminate one's relationship with God. And it's the things I spoke about earlier on. The common things are things like pornography, lust, greed, hatred. Think of the three categories of sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everything falls in those three categories. We need to separate ourselves from those things. It also carries with itself the connotation of holiness. This is a Pentecostal holiness church called Christian Heritage Church. We are to walk in holiness or purity. The Bible tells believers to be a holy people, separate from the world. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says this, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch that which is unclean, and I will receive you. Did you hear that last bit? If we are separate, if we are holy, we will be received. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. So come out from among unbelievers and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch which is unclean, and I will graciously receive you and welcome you with favor. So if we are willing to do what God is telling us to do, He will receive us and we will have favor. Who wants the favor of the Lord? Right. God is calling us to be separated. They did this before they crossed the Jordan River. Joshua 3 verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Who wants God to do wonders amongst us? We need to sanctify ourselves and be separate, church. And God will move in our midst. God is calling us out. He's calling us out. He said, come, be sanctified, consecrated, and dedicated to me. Then we can shine. My final scripture. Romans 13, and I'll start in halfway through verse 11. If you've got it, open it. Wake up. I love the New Living Translation. Church, wake up! That was for those of you that were nodding off. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of light. The armor of light. The armor of Christ Jesus. This Bible actually says, the New Living says, the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness like you all want to do every Friday night. You guys were supposed to say no when I said that. Or in sexual promiscuity. Like you want to do on Saturday night. I'm just joking. Alright? And immoral living like you want to do on Mondays. Because Sunday you're young, you're not doing. Alright? Or in quarreling, which you want to do on Tuesdays. And jealousy, which you want to do on Wednesdays. I was jealous that I had to get up on that ladder and Conrad watched me from the boat. I'm just joking. Instead, I'm just saying that to make it a bit lighter. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge yourself in evil desires. Have you ever noticed when you start thinking about sin, it's sooner or later it happens. It's one of my prayers that I pray. Lord, help me to take captive every thought. And help me make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That is the New King James Version interpretation of that same scripture. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Okay, so what was I saying there? I was saying this is a wonderful picture that Paul has painted. And I only realized it when I read it this week. He's likening what we need to do to getting up in the morning. You know, when it starts to get light, it's time the alarm goes off. We throw the alarm off the side of the bedside table. Because we're trying to reach out to it and the stupid thing won't shut up. Okay? We chuck it off and then hopefully it goes off. Otherwise, we've got to get out of bed. It's getting light. When it gets light, what do? It's time to get up. So we take the blanket and we throw it off the bed. Amen? And then we go to work in our pajamas. No! We take those pajamas off and we put on our clothes for the day. And what God is saying is it's exactly the same. It's time to get out the bed of sin and darkness and the things of the world and the things we've been involved in and throw off that blanket of sin and take off those pajamas of sickness and disease and sinful, lustful behavior. And what we need to do is put on the clothing for the day, the armor of light, the armor of God, the armor of righteousness, the thing of right living, that we will not lie. We will tell the truth even if it hurts. We will shine forth with the love of Jesus. We'll tell others about Jesus. We'll walk in honesty. We'll spend time with the Lord. We'll come to church and be a body that shares Christ together. We'll do that which is right. We'll say that which is right. We'll say, if you've got nothing good to say about somebody else, then rather don't say it. Hallelujah. Amen. That is what God is calling us to do, church. He's calling us to put on the armor of light. And we can all do it because we have it. You know why? Because when we got born again, Jesus took off those old, dirty, horrible garments of sin and He gave us a robe that's pure white. A robe of righteousness. The problem is, sometimes, can you see me here? Sometimes, I'm going to go and sneeze a little bit in my bed of sin and unrighteousness. Ah, Toki, it's so nice. Sure, oh, I'm dreaming those wrong things. I'm skinnering. Oh, I'm flirting. In fact, that lady that came to my, she's pretty. My wife won't know. Ach, net toch hier, ach, maar net net een klein dopje drink. No harm's going to come of that. Oh, so it's time we wake up. Whoa, what have I been doing? Do you understand what I'm saying, church? We must throw off those blankets of sinfulness. I painted that picture because it's reality. Amen? We're human beings. We slip into sin just like that. God wants us to put on the armor of light. That's what October is all about. That's what Tabernacles is all about. Consecration, sanctification, we've been atoned for. Now we live in the joy of Jesus Christ and victory over sin. Can we do that, church? Stand with me. For those of you that slept through the service, when you stood up, it was you standing up out of your sin. I'm just joking. Will that picture stay with you? Get dressed. Put on your clothes. The armor of light. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to come for the front. If there's anybody here this morning that's been walking in darkness and you need to give your heart to Jesus, I want to invite you forward. Come now. And we will pray for you. For the rest, let's close our eyes. And I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to look. If you're going to choose to work through the book of Nehemiah, to fast, to ask the Lord to show you what needs to change in your life, to ask Him to help you to become sanctified and consecrated so that we build a momentum in the spiritual realm, if you're willing to get involved in the dirty work of fixing the church up, I'm not going to look. I want you to raise your hand this morning as we pray. And just say to the Lord, help me. Don't even make a covenant with him, because sometimes we break those things. I don't want to bring you into bondage. Just say, Lord, help me to be obedient to the convictions that you place on my heart this morning. Lord Jesus, we ask for that. I pray as the leader of this church, as we go into this month of October, that we will dedicate ourselves to be consecrated and sanctified in Christ, to do that which is right, to be separated and holy. Father, there where the flesh is lazy and weak, and I know it's like that in my own life, and I sometimes don't want to get involved in the dirty work, the physical work, forgive me and give me a zeal for it. Lord, I pray the same for all of us. I also pray there where we are lazy spiritually, where we've been laying in these spiritual beds of darkness, and we need to throw off those blankets of sin and throw off the garments of sin and put on those garments of righteousness. Let us do so. Let us move through this month and let a momentum build in this place, an unstoppable momentum in the spiritual realm. Let us all grow spiritually. Let us be clean and pure and right. And let us see a victory like we've never experienced in this church, not even since its foundation. We ask this in Jesus' name. I pray as we go out here this morning, that each person that was prayed for, that each person that has been here, will have your word richly dwelling in them. And that your joy will be their strength. In Jesus' name. Amen.